relationships today, how blessed we are to have family and friends, and especially as we gather together here on the first day of the week, how blessed we are to have one another and to worship with one another and find that strength and encouragement of God and to be reminded of the good things that He has done for us. And so in keeping with that, since we're grateful for one another, let's all stand up, introduce yourself, even if you think the person knows you. Say, hey, I'm Todd and I'm thankful for you. So let's stand up and express our gratitude to God for the people around us. All right, that's enough of being grateful. Back to your seats. I'm grateful for all of you. It's a beautiful time to be together. It's a beautiful time, just as we were... I thought a fight was breaking out back there, okay? Security. No, that's just a joke. That's just a joke. As we were singing, I just thought how beautiful that is, all of our voices blending together. And I don't have a good singing voice, but I sing, and it's just a beautiful thing to be part of that. I mean, such beautiful noises being made by brothers and sisters in Christ as we blend our voices together. Certainly our singing is a great representation of the blessing of being part of a community. But we do have so much to be grateful for. Last week we talked about just being grateful for all the things that God provides us with. All of that food that He gives us. All that stuff that just comes from the dirt. I mean, not only did God create us, but He created all this wonderful food that sustains us. And it doesn't just sustain us, we actually enjoy it. I mean, it tastes good, it gives us pleasure. And so when you gather around that table on Thanksgiving Day, all of that food, all of the variety of food that God has made is one way that He has provided for us, and we're thankful for that. Not just on Thanksgiving, every day. We eat every day. All of those things are from God. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about the gift of salvation. And again, that's at the top of the list. That's why I started with that. That's the greatest gift that we can have, that hope that we have, no matter... Did I see something flying by me there? Okay. It's supposed to be wintertime bugs. That's happened to me before, and I've warned people. If I start doing this, it could be the spirit or it could be that wasp. I don't know. when we talk about the gift of salvation, you know, and sometimes the provisions aren't all that we want. Sometimes life isn't everything that we had hoped for it to be. But as believers in God and acknowledging that great gift that we celebrate every Sunday morning in the gift of communion, We know that our sins are forgiven and that we can stand before God righteous by the blood of Jesus Christ, and we have that hope of eternal life. We've been studying the book of Revelation, a group of us, on Wednesday nights, and it appears that the people to whom the book of Revelation was first written to were going through some very difficult times, some persecution, economic persecution, maybe even having their lives threatened for confessing that Jesus is Lord. And so the book of Revelation paints this picture of the great future that awaits everyone who remains faithful. So even if everything else is falling apart in their world, even if everything else is falling apart in your world, the book of Revelation reminds us that that blessing, that number one blessing, which can never be taken away from us, is always there, will always give us hope, and is always reason to praise. And these are some of the last words of the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 22, the last chapter, where Jesus himself says, look, I am coming soon. I'm going to take care of everything. Everything is going to be all right. I'm going to bring justice. I'm going to bring reward with me. My reward is with me, and I will give to each person according to what they have done. I am the Alpha and the Omega. That's the first and the last letters of the Greek alphabet. The first and the last, the beginning and the end. I mean, I'm everything. I'm your entire list from A to Z. I'm it. If all the other list just falls apart, I'm there. And he says, blessed are you who wash your robes that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city. That phrase, tree of life, is reminiscent of how the whole story begins in the book of Genesis, where there's this Garden of Eden, this paradise, this perfect relationship with God. And so John reveals to us these words of Jesus Christ, that Eden, that paradise, is going to be restored. And you have that in your future, all of you who have had your robes washed in the blood of the Lamb. So today I want us to talk about another thing to be grateful for. This time is especially meaningful as we celebrate with other people and the relationships that we have. I have many fond memories of Thanksgiving. I like Thanksgiving. It seems like it was always at our house growing up, my mom and dad's house, and my mom would do all of the cooking, or most of the cooking, and we would have our customary items. We'd have turkey and squash, cranberry sauce. We would have stuffing, not dressing, all right, just like the pilgrims did, all right, and actually stuffed inside the turkey. I like dressing, but stuffing is the original, of course. So we had some, all the traditional food, but we had some family foods that I don't think I've ever seen outside of my family served on Thanksgiving or any other time. Boiled onions. Any boiled onions out there? No? Stuffed celery? Oh, some people have had stuffed celery. All right. I didn't like them. And I didn't eat them. But I have fond memories of them. That was part of my Thanksgiving. And so all the food. I remember all of the food and gathering around the table. And then there was football. I'm a big football fan. And even as a young boy growing up in Massachusetts, I idolized the Cowboys. The Dallas Cowboys were America's team. Tom Landry and Roger Staubach was always excited about watching that game. And then old Texas Stadium and the Goodyear blimp would be above it, and you'd see the hole in the roof. And, of course, everyone knows the hole in the roof was there so that God could watch his favorite team, is how the story goes. But they were my childhood heroes. The Dallas Cowboys. And then again, there were the people around the table. And I remember one Thanksgiving in our basement. We had a finished basement, and we didn't have a huge family. I was one of four children, three older sisters. But two of my older sisters were 14 and 15 years older than I am. And so at 4 or 5 years old, I was an uncle, and so I had, one had three children, another one had two children, and so put everyone together. It was a good-sized group. And so one Thanksgiving, I remember, down in our basement, we had a ping pong table that we had decorated. Not that I had anything to do with it, but my mom and dad decorated, and we gathered all around that ping pong table, and grandparents and family. And even as I recall that, it brings a smile
to my faith. So today, I want us to think about relationships. And as we count every blessing, certainly one of those blessings is the relationships that we have, the people around our tables. And sometimes we take that for granted. Oftentimes, we take that for granted, don't we? Just the people that God has put in our lives and have blessed us in so many ways. And so how wonderful it is to have people around your table. And let's not take that for granted. And if you do take that for granted, then ask someone who's lost a loved one, especially recently, and they will remind you of how wonderful it is to have people around our table and not to forget it. And I know that many of you have that feeling, that difficult feeling that Tyler mentioned in his opening prayer, where you long for that person who is gone to be at that table, and you have those bittersweet memories, fond memories, but difficult memories as well. So I came across this prayer in regards to that I want to pray for all of us today. So let's bow our heads and let me lead us in this prayer. Dear God, we are here to express our gratitude for all your blessings. You have given us so much, not only providing what we need to live, but in giving us yourself. We are richly blessed, and it is right to acknowledge that you are the source of all good things. Yet this season also brings a mix of emotions to us. We confess our thanks, but also our sadness because of the empty place at our table. We know that death and sorrow were not your original plan, but we also know that you use difficulties to draw us closer to you and to one another. So here and now, fill the empty places in our hearts and the empty place at our table. Teach us, Lord, to savor the moments we have with one another, to rightly remember what we have lost, but also to look forward in hope to what we have promised in the future. Thank you for all of your blessings. For even through your trials and loss, you always somehow reveal your goodness. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. So let's count this blessing of relationship. And here are a few ways that relationships are a blessing in our lives. First of all, relationships reflect the communal nature of God. As we enjoy the presence of one another, as we enjoy those relationships, what we're actually is we're actually praising God for who He is. It seems that Scripture reveals God, although He is one, there's this mystery in Scripture that God also exists in community with Himself. This concept of this doctrine that we call the Trinity, that God who is one exists as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He is a communal being. And the first glimpse of that we might get is in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. In that creation story, as God has created many of the things in this galaxy, in this universe, and then is contemplating adding to that creation human beings, He uses that term, "let us make man in our own image." So that may be a hint of this communal nature of God. But throughout Scripture, we see this reality, this mystery, but this reality that God exists in these three people, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so our friendships and our families and our relationships, they reflect that identity, that reality of who God is. And it also reveals to us that we are created in the image of God, and so we are communal people as well. We're not meant to live in isolation. Remember that movie Castaway with Tom Hanks? He was survived this horrific plane crash and washed ashore this deserted island and was all by himself for I forget how long it was, but it seemed like years and years and years. And how he longed for community. In fact, he longed for it so much that he made a friend for himself out of a volleyball and named it Wilson. Well, Wilson was actually the brand name of the volleyball, but he created something to live in relationship with. We need people, just like we need food. We need these relationships that we have, and that reflects the identity of God. In fact, in the creation stories, you read through Genesis 1 and 2, as God is looking down on creation, the one thing that He says is not good is the fact that man is alone. In Genesis 2 and verse 18, He says it's not good. He created Adam, and then He says, wait, there's something missing. This is a communal person. This is a communal being. This being needs to live in relationship with someone else who is like him. And so He creates the woman who is Eve. And so just think of how life is so much better with people around. those relationships that we have. And as we celebrate that, we reflect the reality that God is a communal person. You may have heard this old proverb, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. And how many people in our lives have helped us achieve the things that we have achieved because they were there with us, the strength and the encouragement that we received from them. That's reflected also in Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Ecclesiastes is part of the wisdom literature of the Old Testament. Apparently it was Solomon, the king, who's just kind of reflecting on life, and he's trying to make sense of life because he's had all of this stuff, and he's wondering what the meaning of life is. And one observation that he makes is that one of the beauties, one of the glories of this life is that we share it together, that we don't live all by ourselves. And so he says, two are better than one, because they have a good return for their labor. You can get more done when you're working with someone else, when we invest and are engaged in these relationships. And then he says, if one of them falls down, the other one can help him up. He says, it's pitiful for anyone who falls down and has no one to help them up. And then he says, if two lie down, you're going to keep warm. But how can you keep warm all by yourself? The warmth and the support that relationships bring us are just an amazing blessing in our lives. He says a cord of three strands is not easily broken. As we add to those relationships, we become stronger and stronger. In fact, some people think that that third cord is God himself, that relationship we have with God. But regardless of what that third cord is, Solomon in his wisdom observes that people do better in these relationships that we have with someone by our side. Reminds us of God's love, reminds us of who God is. So right now, just again, take a moment to think about the people in your life, your friends, family, mentors, co-workers, neighbors, whoever they may be, and let's be thankful for the way that God has created us, the love and the care and the support that mirror God's own heart for each one of us. We need to be thankful for relationships also because it helps us bear each other's burdens. In fact, when Paul addresses Christians, he often uses the relational term brothers and sisters. In fact, that term, brothers and sisters, is the term from Acts on, is the word that is used most common to address believers in Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters. You see it all throughout the book of Acts. You see it all throughout Paul's letters, that we're in this relationship together. This is what church is. Church isn't to be lived out in isolation either. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. Park Avenue has challenged you to pursue those relationships. We have this three-pronged challenge that we've been putting before you for several years. Pray, people, and purpose. Pray, we want to encourage you. You need to be in the Word. You need to be studying the Word. You need to have some time in the Word. You need to be worshiping together. And then the purpose is you need to find a way that you're serving in the body of Christ. Like a body, you have a function. You have a responsibility, and you further the kingdom of God by the unique gifts and talents that God has given to you. But in the middle there is the people aspect of who we are as Christ. And so we encourage you to pursue these spiritual relationships because they help us. They help us bear one another's burdens. We want to be a church where we're walking through this together. In the New Testament, there are over 50 one another passages in Scripture. Over 50 one another passages talking about the relationships that we have one another, the responsibility that we have towards one another, and the benefits we experience as we live this life of in community. Number one is love one another. There's honor one another. There's greet one another, have fellowship with one another, live in harmony with one another, be at peace with one another, be kind to one another, forgive one another, comfort one another, care for one another, confess your sins to one another, pray for one another, teach and admonish one another, sing with one another. Over 50 of these. In fact, there's a link in the sermon notes where there's a list of many of those one another passages and a little lesson, a little commentary on each one of those. But one of those is in Galatians chapter 6 and in verse 2, where Paul writes to the body of Christ, he says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Other translations have bear one another's burdens. It's that same word, one another, In the English Standard Version, New American Standard Bible has that term, one another. And so one of the greatest blessings of being part of this church and the relationships that we have is that we have a support system. When life gets heavy, and it will, it does, God will use people around you to lighten that load. And that's one reason why we have the elders out in the hallway, their wives, is the elders especially want to be there for you, to be there for one another as you experience the highs and the lows of life. And so think about in your life times when you have been overwhelmed by the circumstances in your life, and there were people who stood by you. There are people who were there, people who showed up, people who prayed with you and for you, or people who just listened to whatever you were going through. That's a gift from God. They're there. We are here for one another to support one another. But remember, it goes both ways. So not only do I need you to support me, but I need to know that I need to be there to support you as well. And so let's make sure that we're doing that with one another. So this week, as we give thanks for relationships, let's consider, how can I bear someone else's burden? What can I do to help someone who is going through a difficult time in life? How can I be there for them? Who needs a listening ear? Who needs a word of encouragement? Who needs a helping hand? How can I take that gift of relationship and give that as a gift to someone else? Another phrase that you may have heard is, joy shared is multiplied and pain shared is divided. Isn't that true? Those beautiful times that we go through, having those relationships, we get to share that with other people. And those difficult times, we have people to help carry that burden. All right, a third way, relationships build us up in faith. They make us better people. All right, they help us grow in our relationship with God. They sharpen us, these relationships, these spiritual relationships. It's not just for our enjoyment, but it's also to challenge us to go to higher heights in our relationship with God, to encourage us. Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens one another. Those spiritual relationships make us more effective as believers and followers of Jesus Christ. And this community of believers, that's one reason that we gather together, is I need you to challenge me, and you need me to challenge you to become even more effective in your walk with the Lord. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25, it's one of those one another passages, says this: let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. We need that, don't we? I mean, so many times we get complacent with our lives. So many times we make excuses for not serving, for not using our gifts. Sometimes we need people just to prod us and to spur us on a little bit, to take that action. So he says, don't give up meeting together. We need that. We need that encouragement from one another. He says, some people are in the habit of doing that. They've withdrawn from the fellowship of believers, and by withdrawing from the fellowship of believers, they are depriving themselves of that encouragement to actually grow and to be stronger in the Lord and to grow into that abundant life that God has for us, that He's promised us. He says, so we need to keep getting together. We need to have those spiritual relationships. And God designed us to be part of a community where we can be built up and we can build up other people. So again, think of your own spiritual journey. Who has walked through with you through times when you got a little apathetic with your faith? Who are some people in your life that may have said, Todd, I think you could do this. Or Todd, I need you to volunteer for this. Or Todd, we have this need and I think you can fill that need. And it may not have been uncomfortable, but it's helped me live in to the life that God has planned for me. You need to read the word a little bit more. You need to be in a small group. You need to be here, do this. And it's all generated out of love and concern and compassion. Iron sharpening iron. They spur us on upwards and onward as we grow in Christ. These spiritual relationships that we have also provide an ability for us to make better decisions in our life. They help us in our spiritual discernment, in decision making, especially those big decisions that we make in our life. Let me show you this passage. This is Matthew 18, 19 through 20. And it talks about wherever two or three are gathered in my name, there I'm with them in their midst. And so often I have thought of that in the past as, all right, if we have two or three people in church, then we can have church, right? Two or three people are here, this qualifies. A quorum is here so that we can have church. And that may be true, but I don't think that's the meaning of this passage right here. This is Matthew chapter 18 is about, what do I do when a brother has sinned against me? How do I respond to that? I need wisdom in approaching that person. And so in the context of making that decision about approaching someone, Jesus' advice is, let's get two or three people together, and that's going to increase the possibility, the probability that your decision is going to be a godly decision. And so these relationships that we have when we face crises in our lives, what am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to act? How am I supposed to respond? We call in spiritual people and we get their advice. We get their perspective. We get their angle on the situation. And I know that in my own life, there have been so many times where I thought, I need to do this. I need to act this way. And I was convicted in my mind, in my heart, that this is what I needed to do. But then I would pass that by some other spiritual people, and they would say, hold on. And I am blessed, and I am fortunate, and I am grateful for those people that have shared their wisdom in my life, and probably, in all probability, have kept me from doing some things that would have been foolish, that would have been ungodly. And so we have these relationships with each other that can help us make those decisions. So bounce those ideas off of people. All right, let me leave you with a few points of application as we close up this series on counting our blessings and as we especially talk about relationships. All right, spend some time thanking God for the people He has placed in your life. All right, for those people that He's placed in your life. Whoever it may be, however it may be, however many it may be. And even reach out to someone this week and let them know how much they mean to you. Now, maybe it's someone that you haven't seen in a long time. You know, blame me. You know, our preacher said to send you a text or whatever, you know, or post something on Facebook. Or just in the spirit of Thanksgiving, I want to reach out to you and I want to thank you for the role that you've played in my life. And that's just going to be a great blessing to that person. And it's going to be a great blessing to yourself as well as you remind yourself of how indebted you are to the relationships that God has placed in your life. There's so many people in my past, so many people that have just been a tremendous blessing to me. So spend some time thanking God for people and then maybe even do something tangible to thank them. I'd be intentional in bearing one another's burdens. I ask God, how can I be a support to other people? Who are the people around me? And certainly there's someone around you that needs a little help, needs a little encouragement, needs a good word from you. And so God, help me reveal to me those people that you've placed in my life that I can be a blessing to and carry their burden a little bit. So put those people in front of me and then give me the opportunity to reach out and to bless those people with that blessing of relationship. To realize that you're not just here for yourself. You're not just here just for your own enjoyment. We're here so that we can carry the burdens of other people. So find a way to support them, whether it's through a prayer. I'm praying for you. I know this must be a hard time for you. I'm praying for you. Or a conversation. Or some practical help with that person, whatever they may be going through. So take advantage of that opportunity that God has placed you in to serve other people. Then build up others in faith. Encourage someone in their walk with Christ. All right, I missed you at church. Some type of word of affirmation. I'm glad to see you at church. You're such a blessing. I just love hearing your voice in church. I love seeing you. I love your spirit. Whatever it may be. Maybe send someone a Bible verse. Pray together with someone. Recognize that as iron sharpens iron, you can be that iron that is sharpening someone else's life. So build up other people in faith. So as we commit ourselves to the relationships around us, we're going to see our faith grow. We're going to live more into that abundant life. We're going to pursue together Christ. And Thanksgiving season is an excellent time to reflect on and appreciate the relationships that we have. And certainly one of the greatest blessings that we have is one another. Again, I have so many memories, And if I could go back in time, hey, I'd love to smell the turkey, my mom's turkey. I remember that one, there was one particular spice that she used that only smelled at Thanksgiving, and I probably wouldn't even recognize it. I would like to go back, and I'd even like to smell those boiled onions and the and the stuffed celery. That would be good. And I'd love to watch the old Cowboys and Tom Landry wandering on the sidelines and that flex defense and the way that the Cowboys did their thing and everything and the hole in the roof. I would like to do that as well. But if I had to choose between those three memories, hands down, the memory that I would like to recall is just being with those people and the joy of seeing my mom and dad, my sister, my grandparents, and that blessing that it is just to be part of a family. And that is such a beautiful thing, isn't it? Isn't that what really makes life a beautiful journey? The people that are around us. In this holiday season, maybe there are some people that you won't see around your table. But maybe you can just close your eyes and you can imagine that they're there and you can still experience that blessing. And you know, the beautiful thing about people of faith is that not only can we imagine that, but we can live in the expectation that that is going to take place. That there's going to be a day when there's going to be this great celebration where a ping pong table is not going to be big enough. All of the people from all of our past will be there to celebrate. In fact, Jesus, when he talks about the kingdom of heaven, more than once he talks about it being a great feast. We're all around this beautiful table enjoying all of these relationships. And maybe your life, maybe in relationships, you're thinking, Todd, I don't know if I'm not blessed with these relationships. I don't feel that I have these relationships. I hope that you can. I hope that you have those fond memories and experience that even that this Thanksgiving. And as you do that, just imagine how much greater is going to be when we're all in heaven gathered around that spiritual table. But if you haven't had those relationships, and maybe you look at other people and you envy them, because of that number one gift, because of that gift of salvation, you can look forward to that time where those relationships will be there in a way that no one on this earth has ever experienced. You see, the Bible talks about this great time where we will all be together. A huge party, a huge Thanksgiving with all the sons and daughters of God. I like the way that Paul describes it in 1 Thessalonians 4. And I've used this passage often. I use it a lot at funerals. But just a little background, there were some people who were concerned that since Christ hadn't come back yet, and this is not long after Christ lived, maybe a few decades, they were concerned that those people who died in between the death of Christ and his second coming, which is still in our future, that somehow they would miss out on this great resurrection. And Paul wants to remind them, no way, they're not going to miss out on this great celebration that's going to take place, initiated by the coming of Christ. And there's lots of questions about the coming of Christ, but Paul reminds them that we're all going to be together. Look at what Paul says to these brothers and sisters in Christ that are anxious about being together again with those people that have passed away, who have fallen asleep, as the term that they use. But he says, brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. He says, we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. They're not going to miss out on the party. They're going to be involved, and however this works out, however this comes down, those people that have gone on before us are going to be involved and participate in this great day. According to the Lord's command, verse 15, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep.
For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And then I love this last phrase, and so we, all of us, will be with the Lord forever. And he says, these are encouraging words, aren't they? All right, these relationships that we have are going to be one of the greatest joys of heaven. There we'll be able to celebrate before the throne that great gift of salvation that God has given to us. And there with all of our brothers and sisters, all of the faithful, all of those who've had their robes washed in the blood of the Lamb, we'll be able to gather around that table. And so this is really what makes life wonderful, isn't it? The people around us. So let's love them. Let's appreciate them. And even though there will be some who are not here this year, close your eyes and imagine seeing them again. What a great blessing to have one another. When God created us this way, in community, as people with the capacity to have these relationships, he did a really, really good thing. He is a good God who gives us good gifts and the hope of a good future. We're going to sing a song praising God for his goodness, what he's done in the past, what he's doing now, and what he will do in the future. Let's stand together and sing.
I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good.
That I am made.
of the goodness of God. And I will sing of the goodness of God.
Amen.
Well, I want to add my voice to those who have welcomed you, and it is good to see so many people here today. It is, as Todd has told us, your way of saying, I'm still believing, and what an encouragement that is. One relationship that we are thankful for, and I owe an apology to the congregation, especially those of you who have not been with us for a very long time, and I owe an apology to our youth minister who last week returned from sabbatical. So I want to introduce to you Tyler Cope. Tyler, you want to wave your hand? Man, it's good to have you back, you and Alyssa, and we hope that you enjoyed that month off. It's good that you are able to do that, and we applaud you for it. Todd, as you were talking about food, that's one of the things I kind of hate about Thanksgiving. It is that there are so many good dishes that's the only thing, the only time of year that we get those, and you want to eat so much, but you only got so much stomach to put all of that in, and it makes it difficult to do what? Bigger stomachs in heaven. Thank you, Todd. That was the most important point of the sermon. We could just keep eating. All right. As we pray together, I will, as is kind of our tradition, to say amen. I won't do that because we will conclude with the Aaronic blessing as we sing that together. It's from Numbers, and there is a sevenfold amen. So let's pray together, and we'll close out that prayer with that. Father, we are thankful for this day. We are thankful for the body that is here that gathers together at Park Avenue. Father, we're thankful because everything that we have and everything that we are comes from you. Every breath, every thought, Father, every action that we take is because you loved us and you created each one of us. And Father, from before time began, you knew that we would be in this place. And so, Father, we use this time, we use our hearts, and we use our voices to raise our praise to you and to be a blessing to each other as we thank you for the blessing that comes from you.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. And give you peace. Shine upon you and be gracious unto you
and be gracious.
are dismissed. Have a great week.